All right, so tonight is our fourth week. I want us to make sure that we don't lose any of the ground we've already covered. So let's just start, before we pray, let's do a couple review questions here. What is a one-word definition for an elder?
Shepherd.
Shepherd, very good. Second week, we talked about why have multiple elders. So just real quick, just shout out some reasons to have multiple elders that we talked about.
Biblical.
Shared load, it's beneficial. We're Baptist. Hey, that's a good one. It's even in our name. We like it that much. What else? Multiplicity of talent, gifts. Accountability.
So the pastor is also.
So the pastor is pastor. Good. Yeah. These are some. There's a lot of other reasons why it's wise to have a team of elders. We actually talked about one this morning. In our passage from our sermon from Matthew 18, sometimes there's conflict that's so complex that having wisdom from a team of elders can help a pastor navigate through how to go to that final step if it's necessary. And then we talked about last week who can be an elder, and we mentioned some broad qualifications. What were some of the broad qualifications for being an elder?
To be able to teach.
One of them. That's to be male. Talked about that. If you weren't with last week, I'd encourage you to go back and listen. We don't have time to cover that tonight, but there's a strong biblical argument for why the office of elder should be reserved to men. Other qualifications?
Above reproach.
And there's lots of different areas where he ought to be above reproach, in his family, and his relationships, and his abilities. There's one other big one. Well, he's not a new convert. That's good. They have to want to do it. It has to be a desire. 1 Timothy 3, verse 1. Desire to be an elder. So tonight we're going to shift gears from talking about elders to talking about deacons. And I'll be honest with you. I'm so encouraged by the reception that we've had so far in the first 3 weeks. But this one could test us a little bit. And the reason for that is because it's always easier to add something new than to change something existing. PBC doesn't currently talk about or have elders in a formal sense. So adding something new, I think it's a lot easier for many of us to swallow that. But we do have deacons. And in order to have biblical elders, it's going to necessarily change the way that we view deacons, which then, I think, as you'll see in a bit, will change the way we view some other things in PBC life as well. So this one is going to challenge you a little bit. And I want to, before we pray, I want to encourage one of our sister's examples to you. I had a conversation with Miss Louise Lax earlier this week, and she was talking about how she has been fervently studying what the Bible says about elders during the week on her own. And a reason she gave for that is she said, I don't bring Pastor Hobson home with me, but I bring my Bible home with me. What a great way to think. And sister, I encourage you, I'm so grateful for you and for that example. And I would encourage all of you, as you listen to what we discussed tonight about office of deacons, follow that model. If there's something that challenges you, go to the Word. Go to the Word and let the Word guide you. And study what the Word says about these issues. Here's the premise tonight. Elders cannot shepherd faithfully and fruitfully without biblical deacons. Or we put it this way, Jesus loves His sheep and shepherds so much, He calls deacons to serve His church. So that in mind, as far as where we're going, let's go to the Lord in prayer again. Lord, we love You. We thank You for the gospel. Thank You for sending Jesus. And because of Jesus' sinless life and His sinner's death, we can have hope and help for today. And we ask for Your help tonight. We ask that You would use Your Word to shape us, to transform us. We want to be faithful. We want to be obedient. We want to do things the way You've called us to. And so we ask that Your Word would guide us tonight. I pray that You'd help me to be clear. I pray that You would help us to listen and to learn. And Lord, may we follow the example of our sister. May we take our Bibles home and study them and see what Your Word has to say. And we pray that You would do great things through Your Word tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. So I heard about a kid who was approached one Sunday morning after Sunday school. And the question was asked, what did you learn in Sunday school today, Emma? And Emma said, well, we learned how Jesus healed the sick and cast out the demons. So there's a lot of confusion about deacons. Maybe not always quite that bad, but there's a lot of confusion about deacons. And this confusion is compounded in a setting where a church does not have biblical eldership. So when biblical eldership is lacking, biblical deaconship is also going to be confused. If we're going to have biblical elders, we must have biblical deacons. I want you to turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6. As you're turning there, just a couple of things. There's some debate over whether these verses refer to actual deacons or not. Honestly, we have to say we're not exactly sure. The church is really new. It's being led by apostles at this point in the church. Elders aren't mentioned until Acts 11 verse 30. The noun deacon isn't mentioned in our text tonight. And at least some of the seven that are chosen as what you might say are the first deacons, at least some of them have teaching abilities much like what you would expect of an elder. Okay, so we want to be really careful the way we approach this text. Just humbly say, not exactly certain that these are deacons. However, I do believe the passage can be helpful for us as we think through the office of deacon, because what we see in this text tonight is a group of church leaders, apostles, not elders, but a group of church leaders nonetheless, are unable to focus on their shepherding ministry because there's practical ministry that's being neglected. Okay? So that's a parallel with the office of elders and deacons. The apostles lead the church to appoint a group of seven to oversee these practical ministries in the church so they can continue to oversee spiritual ministries. That's what we see in our text. And so I personally think that what we're seeing here is an office that would pave the way for deaconship. They're not called deacons formally here, but I think it's going to kind of evolve into what we call deacons later on in the New Testament. You may disagree, that's okay, but I still think we'll be helped by the text in front of us. Let's start in verse 1. Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews, because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, it is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you seven men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicolaus, a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. And the word of God continued to increase, and the numbers of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. So let's start with a simple question. What are deacons? We have a one-word answer for elders. The one-word answer for deacons is servants. What are deacons? Answer is servant. The word deacon literally means servant. So in our text in front of us, wherever you see the word serving in this text, that is the word deacon. Not in its noun form, but in a verb form, the same word. Okay, so for instance, serving tables in verse 2. That's the word for deacon. However, verse 4, there's another time the word deacon is used, the word ministry of the word. So the apostles say, we're going to deacon the word. These guys are going to deacon tables. Both service, but different types of service. The word deacon literally means servant. I thought what Our brother Miguel said when we were in Mexico City, it was very helpful. Elders serve by leading, and deacons lead by serving. That's a very helpful distinction, understanding the offices of elder and deacon. What I want to do is go through our passage and share what I think are six facets of biblical deacon ministry. Six facets of biblical deacon ministry. Number one, biblical deacon ministry is supportive. Supportive. So the church leaders in Acts 6, they're unable to faithfully exercise their shepherding ministry. They're not able to preach and to pray and to shepherd the way that they otherwise would because there's this issue arising with hungry Greek-speaking widows. Okay, so this office begins as a way to support the apostles' ministry so that they can shepherd more faithfully. I think that's part of what deacons are for. At PBC, currently, in my opinion, we use deacons not to support pastoral ministry, but to help supplement pastoral ministry. Let me explain what I mean. This is from our current constitution. Deacons are spiritual servants of the church. Their task is to serve with the pastor and staff in caring for and shepherding the people of Pocosin Baptist Church. Do you hear that? The job of the deacon as currently defined in our Constitution is that deacons would come alongside and supplement the shepherding ministry of the pastor. What I'm going to argue tonight is that a deacon is not just kind of an extension of pastoral ministry, but it's a separate thing that enables pastors to focus on elder shepherd ministry. Does that make sense? So I think that we've got it a little bit off. Rather than viewing deacons as an extra layer of shepherding care, we should view them as the individuals that oversee everything else so that the elders can shepherd. Okay? So deacon ministry should be supportive ministry. Here's the second facet. Biblical deacon ministry is shock-absorbing ministry. You ever ridden in a car with poor shock absorbers? Who's on my Mexico team? Mexico team, hold your hand. Who rode in the back of the bus? Okay, Debbie, Taylor, Jesse, Jason, Nathan. How was it?
Horrible.
It was horrible. Yes. It was, we didn't think we could make it up a hill, which was a separate issue, but it was very bumpy. Very bumpy. Okay? The shocks weren't very good. And shock absorbers are designed to help make those potholes and things that you go over in the course of driving on the road to make it a little bit smoother and easier. Okay? I think biblical deacon ministry should function much like shock absorbers. Every church is going to drive over some potholes sometimes. It just happens. Okay? Every church is going to have conflict that arises, and biblical deacon ministry is going to help lessen the tension, lessen the impact, so that things are just smoother in the ride of the life of the church. So the church in Jerusalem in Acts 6 is going down a pretty bumpy road. What's happening in verse 1? What's going on? Yeah, there's some discrimination going on. You got Greek-speaking widows that aren't getting fed and Hebrew-speaking widows that are. And that's creating conflict in the church. This conflict is arising in the church, which is going to undermine the apostles' ability to effectively lead the church. And so, one of the ways that they're going to help absorb that shock and deal with that conflict so that it doesn't spread and threaten the unity of the church is by the creation of this office that I believe eventually turns into what we call deacons. So 2,000 years later, do churches still drive down bumpy roads? Yes, we do. And we still, I would argue, need deacons to function as shock absorbers. I think it's a mistake to look at this text and assume that the job of a deacon is to serve food to widows. Okay? So we could look, if we want to be very literal and very wooden, you could look at Acts 6 and you could say, assuming these are deacons, deacons are supposed to serve Greek-speaking widows. Great. We don't got any of those. We don't need deacons. I don't think that's a really helpful way to approach the Bible. This is what we would call a descriptive text. So it's describing what the early church did. Okay, but why did they have these men serving Greek-speaking widows?
Because of a need.
There was a need, absolutely. There was a need. And so the logic then would be to say, okay, what are the needs in our church today? And how could a group of deacons help absorb the shock and help meet needs so that elders can shepherd? Number three, biblical deacon ministry is specific. Biblical deacon ministry is specific. Once again, verses 1 through 3, the deacons are, or whoever these seven are, they're serving widows. Okay? I already said it would probably be a mistake to say that's what deacons are supposed to do. But what's the principle for us to apply as far as deacons today in the church? Now, Susan, you already hit on it. Where there's a need. Where is there a need in church life? And how then can we find people to practically help meet needs of service, practical-based ministry in the church? That, I think, is where we're really hitting the nail on the head on what a deacon ought to be. Now, let me ask a question. How do we do this type of specific, practical ministry at Pecosin Baptist Church currently?
Ministry teams.
Ministry teams. Ministry teams. Our Constitution team has been working very hard on coming up with a new revised Constitution to help us as a church be legally defensible, to be current, and to be strong. It's not about addressing the elder deacon issue, just about getting us up to speed where we currently are as a church. And one of the things that they did was they wrote a summary paragraph to explain what ministry teams do. Here's what they wrote. Ministry teams exist to assist pastoral leadership in the practical outworking of our vision and purpose. I'll read you again. Ministry teams exist to assist pastoral leadership in the practical outworking of our vision and purpose. I think that's a pretty good sentence. I think that's pretty accurate as to how our ministry teams are currently functioning at PBC. But here's the problem I'm going to suggest. I think that our ministry teams have turned into what deacons are supposed to be. So here's kind of where we're at as a church. I think that our deacons are functioning much like what?
Elders.
And our ministry teams, and particularly you could say our ministry team leaders, are functioning then much like
deacons.
So in a lot of ways, we're simply trying to shift our way of thinking and the terms that we use to define different things in PBC life. So here's what I believe, just as blunt as I can be. I believe that deacons should replace ministry teams in the life of the church. That's what I believe. Here's what I think that could look like. And this might be where the wheels start turning and the question starts flying, and that's okay. But here's where I believe that could look like. For instance, we could have a deacon of hospitality. Deacon of hospitality is responsible for overseeing and facilitating the setup and tear down for members' meetings meals, for Sunday morning coffee, for Discover class meals, things like that. You could have a deacon of buildings. Deacon of buildings might be responsible for overseeing the maintenance of any buildings the church owns, organizing volunteers as needed, that sort of thing. You might have a deacon of grounds, who's responsible for overseeing the grounds, organizing volunteers to cut grass, remove snow, plant flowers, etc. You might have a deacon of setup, responsible for overseeing setup and teardown for church services, organizing volunteers, etc. Maybe you have a deacon of audiovisual, and that deacon is responsible for overseeing the AV equipment, its use, organizing volunteers as needed, that sort of thing. Maybe a deacon of ordinances, somebody who's responsible for overseeing the setup of baptism and the Lord's Supper, as well as recruiting volunteers for cleanup. Maybe a deacon of children's ministry. Somebody who's responsible for overseeing the children's ministry as a whole, coordinating schedules with volunteers, recruiting volunteers, training volunteers, etc. Maybe a deacon of ushers, responsible for overseeing usher ministry, facilitating counting and handling of financial gifts. Deacon of benevolence. In fact, we actually have a deacon of benevolence now. That's Mr. John Rogers. Thank you, brother. Deacon of greeters, who's overseeing greeter ministry in the church. Deacon of administration, who's overseeing the church's administrative nuts and bolts, these sorts of things. All these are different examples of what deacon ministry in a church could look like. Now, is all this work getting done now?
Yes.
Yeah, it's all getting done now. So what's the mantra that we always say? If it ain't broke, what? Don't fix it. Stop meddling, Pastor Hobson. It's not broken. Leave it alone. Here's the problem. Here's the problem. If our deacons are functioning much like elders, and we as a church shift towards biblical eldership, what do the deacons do? Well, what are they currently doing? Mostly elder work. You were to sit down with our deacons and ask them, what do you do? Well, we help lead the church. We help make tough decisions. We pray over people. We reach out to families when they're struggling. We help give the pastor counsel with tough stuff that's going on. All that's outer stuff. If you take all that away from the deacons, what is there left for deacons to do?
Nothing.
Very little, if anything. There. We do have Deacon of the Week. So you could be a deacon, and you could unlock and lock up the building every week. You could open up for NA. We have a Narcotics Anonymous group that meets here once a week. Those are important things. However, most of what our deacons do is more like elder work than deacon work. So if we shift towards biblical elders, then you end up with this whole biblical office called deacon that really doesn't have much of anything to do. Whereas I think that what we currently call ministry team leaders is a lot more like what we would expect a deacon to be doing anyways. So let's get the microphones out, and I'd like to hear what would be some of the benefits to this approach to deacon ministry? Or what would be some of the drawbacks? Benefits or drawbacks? Let's just talk about this for a moment. Okay, we've got a hand right here. Ms. Susan.
I think a benefit would be, a deacon would be more accountable than a chairperson is. In fact, that they would be working hand in hand with the elders and you, where committees are kind of haphazardly, we report to you, but not like I think the deacons would necessarily do. I think we would see a better organization and flow of things getting done. And we might see a decrease of someone having to serve over and over and over because there's no one else that does it as well as they do. I mean, that's just
great point.
That I see as being a benefit.
That's a great point. And let me just capitalize on one thing you said. You mentioned accountability. Here's the place where deacons would be most accountable. It's the Word of God. Now, let me ask you, where are the qualifications for ministry team leaders in the New Testament?
Nowhere.
They're not there. They're not there. Now, again, I'm not bashing it. I'm just saying there are qualifications for deacons. So we would have a layer of scriptural accountability to hold ministry leaders to, not because we know everybody's doing a horrible job. No. Nothing like that. But how much more focused in how much more valuable would our ministry be if we know we're actually fulfilling an office that has been given to the church 2,000 years ago and still exists today? It's a great point, sister. Okay, I saw a microphone going this way. Yes.
Hey. So I think that it would be a great benefit because you would know who you're supposed to talk to and who the leader of this area is.
Good. Yeah. Okay. So you know who... Now, we do have a list of ministry team leaders somewhere, but many of you may not know who a leader is of this or that area of ministry. Okay? So, now, just stop for a second. The congregation would appoint deacons. So the church would still be saying, so-and-so is going to be the deacon over this area of ministry. Good observation. Somebody, yeah, talk.
Okay, can of worms.
Yeah, go ahead.
You going to have women deacons?
Great question. Can you come back in 2 weeks? I don't have enough time to answer that now. So come back in 2 weeks. I will say this. This is an issue that's touchy, that's tough. It's an issue that not everybody agrees on, even good, solid Christian.
The reason I asked that, you had your friend come in and preach. And he said that some of the hospitality was run by women deacons.
Yeah.
So that's where I was.
Yeah. So here's the simple answer. But please come back in 2 weeks, everybody. Please don't hear this and say, well, I'm mad, I'm not coming back. At least let me defend it to you, okay? I do believe that the Bible allows for women deacons, assuming that a deacon is not functioning like an elder. That's really important to understand. If a deacon is functioning like a deacon, I believe the Bible allows for women deacons. I'm going to make a case for that in 2 weeks. I think it's biblical. I'll tell you, within our own deacon body, we're split. There's nobody that says, I couldn't serve in a church with the women deacons. But there are some of us who say, well, I'm not convinced that this is scriptural, but I don't think that it's an issue worth dividing over. That's good. I'm good with that. But I'm going to show you why I think that in 2 weeks. However, the office of elder must be male. And just another aside, brother. As a church, we could say we don't think that the church should have women deacons. That still would not negate anything that we've said. We could still have male deacons lead, and we might have some other challenges. For instance, we have a women's ministry, and if we say ministry team leaders are supposed to be deacons, then we need to find a man who wants to sign up to be the deacon of women's ministry. Probably some opportunistic young single man. I don't know, but those are things we might have to address. But we'll get there. Thanks for that question, brother. Any other comments as far as potential drawbacks or benefits of this approach to deacons, as deacons leading task-specific areas of ministry? Ronnie.
I think I just answered my own question when you said that. However, having deacons take some of the responsibility from the elders now would allow them, the elders, to focus on shepherding and more the needs of the church, more the spiritual needs, and the deacons can take care of more of the business part of the church. You know, that's the way I see the benefits.
Yeah, that's good. Thanks, brother. Stand over here.
First, the con is just we all hate change and having to learn new ways of doing things and getting used to new things, but I think we're up to the challenge. A plus, and I'm assuming that elders are over deacons in a practical way, meeting with them hands-on.
Yeah.
And because for me, I think that's exciting because it makes a more integrative approach to ministry. Rather than having the different committees doing their own thing, we've got deacons leading them that are meeting together and are under the direction of elders, that makes it, I don't know if holistic is the right word to use, but to me, I think that's an advantage.
Sure. Thanks. Yeah.
What happens in kids' ministry is affected or at least known by and integrated in what's happening in hospitality ministry and administration and AV and all the other places.
Yeah. So the analogy I gave a couple of weeks ago, I think it's helpful. Think of elders like the steering wheel. Deacons like the shock absorbers, the congregation like the emergency brake. So deacon ministry functioning this way means there will be leadership from the elders over the deacons in their areas of ministry. But again, the final earthly decision maker is the body, is the church. So we're a Baptist church. We're a congregational church. We believe that the congregation is the final earthly say. So it's not about elders saying we want this and the church says we don't want that. No, that wouldn't happen. God willing. Yeah, Miss Susan.
One other point, though, is even if we don't come to the conclusion that we want to allow women deacons, I don't see a problem with having a man deacon for oversee the committee, but you can have a woman co-chairman who's more or less leading the thing. And she works closely with that deacon. I mean, I don't really see where we may not even need to stir into the pot of making women deacons if that's something that people are not comfortable with. I mean, there's nothing wrong with a co-chair in that type of situation. I mean, we might be able to get away from women solely having to have the total duty. You know, she has someone to assist her and to help her and to, you know, someone who's done the same committee for years and years and years, she still has someone to help her carry the load, you know, because she has a, and I'm not going to say a male counterpart, but she has a co-chairman that helps her in that. And if the church is more comfortable with that co-chairman being a male because they think that's what the Bible decides and wants, I don't see a problem. You know, even us coming at it that day.
Sure.
If it becomes necessary.
Well, thanks, sister. Let me just push back just a little bit, because what I'm suggesting is that deacons, as I'm presenting them here, would replace ministry teams. The church wouldn't vote on a team. You'd vote on a deacon, let's say of audiovisual. The deacon of audiovisual then would recruit his own team. The church would say, here's what audiovisual we want it to be. We're going to approve what a deacon of audiovisual should do. We're going to approve the responsibilities of that deacon. We're going to approve the person to lead that ministry. And then that person has all the freedom to do what the church has told him to do. Recruit his own team, lead his own team. And then if there was issues, then the elders would step in. So Brother Jimmy Acree, who has some history at PBC, led his church, Bacon's Castle Baptist, towards this model. I think he said like 20 plus years ago. And he said, you know, as I told him a little bit about PBC, one of the things he said was, really, all you're doing is just kind of changing what you're calling things. Mostly. Not all the way, but mostly. He said, your deacons are functioning like elders. You start calling them elders. Your ministry teams, your leaders, are functioning like deacons. So start calling them deacons. And that's what they did 20 plus years ago. It's a little bit more complicated than that, but it's painting with really broad brushstrokes. It's a lot of wisdom in what he said. All right, another. Sure.
Uh-huh.
Sure. Sure. No, 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 that's fine.
Because you're saying there's still going to be committee workers.
The deacons would still recruit their teams as needed. But there would be, just like there's no sense in the church voting on members to help wash dishes after an event, we don't need to vote on chair people for most teams.
And also, you eliminate that part where if you don't sign to the member December,
exactly,
you can't be on
right.
That's a regardless ridiculous.
Right.
You have people that have come in since then.
Yeah.
They may think it's
sure. Right.
I mean, that's fine.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. I see some more questions back here. Jason?
So last week we talked about if we shift to elders working a 3-year plan. If we shift to ministry leaders becoming the deacons, would we hold them to just a 1 year, or would it be a longer cycle for them as well?
That's a great question. I would say a couple of years. I don't know. I haven't really thought very far on that, but I think it would be wise to not change team leadership, deacon leadership every year. That seems unwise to me. So I would say maybe a similar type cycle.
I've been in churches where, similar to ours, where we've had deacons basically providing spiritual leadership and that kind of thing, and they didn't have identified really in any clear way who was in charge of organizing things. And that creates a problem because suddenly someone is sick and you don't realize there's a problem because nobody has any idea what that person was involved in until stuff starts not happening and it's like, oh no, and then you're putting out fires. And likewise, you know, you might have somebody leave the church, and if you haven't really identified, you know, what kind of service that person was doing in a clear way, that's like, you don't even realize there's a void there until stuff starts going wrong. So I think it's great to have that clearly identified, because then you can make sure that you're meeting all of those needs.
Yeah, praise God. And what I would suggest is that the church not just vote on a deacon, but vote on almost like a job description for a deacon. Here's what we want this deacon to do in this area of ministry. So then that person doesn't have any questions. They're doing what the church has assigned them to do. I think it would be a lot simpler if we were to do it that way. Okay, other questions?
I just want to know, does that mean that just like the elders, we would be presented with, hey, this is who we think qualifies for this, and then we would all vote as a church like we did this past time with deacons? Or is it going to be like, hey, who's leading the ministry teams now? You guys are now deacons.
We would want to do it more carefully than the latter approach. Having elders in place is more primary than having biblical deacons. So I think a way forward would be something like this. When the church is ready and the time is right, first we install elders. Install elders first. Ministry teams continue to function how they function. And then sometime after that, under the leadership of the elders would present to the church, here's a deacon area of ministry we would like to propose to the church. We think there should be a deacon of fill in the blank. And then the church slowly begins to add deacons under the leadership of the elders. I think elders should come before deacons. You go to Titus 1. Paul says to Titus, this is why I left you in Crete, to fix what remained and to appoint elders in every town. He doesn't say make sure you have deacons. Deacons are important, not saying they're not. But there's a primary nature to the role of elders as shepherds. So we'd start there and then slowly, but we wouldn't just do a, you know, you wouldn't be grandfathered in or anything like that. Exactly. I don't think that would be helpful or wise. Okay, so let's, Miss Linda.
I'm assuming for the deacons, there's going to have to be a desire.
Yes.
Just like we have for the elders.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, I would see we would have to have in place what we are requiring for that person to do in that specific position.
Yes.
So he would see if he does desire to do
that.
That's
right.
Mm-hmm. Or we're going to be putting him somewhere we don't know what we want.
That's right. Absolutely. That's why I think it'd be helpful to have almost like a job description. Here's what we're asking you to do.
Right. So I think that if we have to decide, okay, they're going to take over these teams, so we might could even get in place each team's qualifications for that person and then start looking in the future so people know what we are asking of them.
Right. That's good. And what, you know, there's going to be growing pains here. There's going to be growing pains. Some things that, you know, as a church we might say, well, maybe this team is great, but they've, like the flower committee, they've fulfilled their purpose. It's time to move on. Maybe this team isn't essential any longer. We don't need a deacon for that particular ministry. Things like that might happen as well. All right, let's move on. We'll have a little more time for questions in a bit. But number four, let me give you a fourth facet of biblical deacon ministry. It's scriptural. So whether the men in Acts 6 are deacons or not, I would refer you to places like Philippians 1:1, 1 Timothy 3, to show you that the office of deacon is a biblical office. It's not made up. Ministry teams, not bashing them, they're not biblical. Doesn't mean they're wrong necessarily. Bulletins aren't biblical. Okay? We have bulletins. PowerPoint's not biblical. Okay? So it's not saying it's wrong. We're just saying there's no biblical warrant for that. But there is a biblical warrant for deacon ministry. And I would suggest to you that as a church, we should be very, very cautious to create offices or a position in the church that God has not authorized. Let me share this quote with you from Pastor Robert Thune. He said, "When they ignore the biblical teaching regarding deacons, churches end up creating positions of leadership that carry no biblical authority. A survey of the average church's leadership structure will reveal titles like children's ministry director or women's ministry director or lay counselor. The people who serve in these roles are often involved in significant biblical teaching and discipleship and pastoral care. But what biblical precedent do these titles have? To what criteria can we hold these individuals? If we allow these sorts of roles to fall under the purview of deacons, then God's people have a clear set of biblical qualifications and expectations for their leaders. If, however, we create titles and ministry positions according to the need of the moment, the long-term result will be a weakening of the authority of Scripture as man-made roles take the place of God-ordained offices." That's a bit, if we're honest, it's a bit like looking in the mirror. And it's a little bit painful to swallow, but I think it's very true. The first church I ever interviewed to pastor was a church in rural Ohio near the West Virginia border. And we were about ready to fly out. I think we were 2 days away from flying out to meet this church and preach in view of a call. And somehow or another, in conversation with them, I found out that they didn't have deacons. And I thought, well, that's interesting. Okay, they don't have deacons. I want to ask about that. So I asked about, why don't you guys have deacons in your church? And they said, well, we couldn't find anybody qualified to be a deacon. That's an issue. Anyways, we couldn't find anybody qualified to be a deacon, so we changed our constitution so we could have ministry team leaders instead of deacons, and we wouldn't have to call them deacons. We just wouldn't worry about having deacons anymore. What that does is it erodes the authority of Scripture. What it does is the local church is saying, we have the authority to cut out the parts that don't work for us. I think that's unwise. I think we are on far better footing for us to stick with the offices of deacon and elder that God has clearly given us in Scripture. Okay, here's how I think about it. Elders and deacons, think of them as two categories of types of ministry in the church. Elder ministry is shepherding ministry. Deacon ministry is service ministry. If there's anything in church life that doesn't fall into one of those two categories, we probably shouldn't be doing it. Think about it. If it doesn't fall under either shepherding or serving, we probably shouldn't be doing it. Unless maybe we have to because the government makes us or something like that. But other than that, we should stick with the offices of elder and deacon. One of the concerns that some might have to move in this direction would be the fear of getting the wrong person to be a deacon. And the New Testament gives us two safeguards to protect us in that, against that. And one is that biblical deacon ministry must be submissive. If you look at Acts 6, biblical deacons, if these are what evolves into the office of deacon, they're submitting to the elders. Look at verses 3. It's the elders who say, we need to have this office. Look at verse 6. It's the elders that pray over them and lay hands on them. Biblical deacon ministry also submits to the congregation. It's the congregation that selects and affirms these men. So biblical deacon ministry is not just kind of this rogue renegade thing. I get to do whatever I want because I'm the deacon of fill in the blank. Nobody can tell me what to do. No, that's not helpful. Biblical deacon ministry should be submissive to the elders and to the church as a whole. So biblical deacon ministry is meant to be submissive. And the other safeguard is that biblical deacon ministry is Spirit-filled. We're talking about Spirit-filled people serving in this office. Verse 3, "Pick up out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom." We're going to get, in 2 weeks, we're going to get into the qualifications for deacons a little bit deeper from 1 Timothy chapter 3. But for now, just understand that a deacon, biblically understood, a deacon should be somebody who's being filled with and led by the Holy Spirit. Somebody with character. Somebody that loves Jesus. Somebody that loves the Word. Somebody that loves the church. And I would suggest to you, that this could be a problem with the way that we currently do ministry teams at PBC, because there are no clear biblical qualifications for a ministry team leader. There's not any. So even within our own structure and the way we do things at PBC, to be a ministry team leader, what do you have to do? You got to be a member. What else? Not be present for a meeting. You have to be a member. You have to be voted on to be a part of the team. But did you know, PBC family, that you, church member, don't even have the authority to choose a ministry team leader? That's the way we're currently set up. You have the authority to choose ministry team members, but who chooses the leader of each team?
The
members of the team. Members of the team. Now, it's not necessarily bad, but I would suggest to you that if anything in church life is worth doing, then the church should have a say over who's leading that thing. I think that the church should have a say. So at this point, we don't have that. No, go ahead. Yes, but the church has authority to select potential ministry team leaders, but not actual ministry team leaders. In other words, you could vote on 5 people to be on security, safety team. And you could say, well, I think all those people would be great to be on safety team, but there's only one of those guys I think should lead it. But the church doesn't have the authority to say that currently. We just have the authority to say, we think that these 5 should be on that team. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
That's the way we're currently structured in our Constitution.
Say,
the church doesn't get a vote.
Selected and it's okay with us.
Yeah, the church doesn't get a vote on team leaders. I would suggest to you that the church should have a say on who's leading the ministries of the church. I think that's wise. Okay, so... yeah. So, other questions? Comments? Let's get our mic men up. Okay. Comments, questions? Some of you look stunned. If you're stunned, I love you. Talk to me. No, it's all right, buddy. No problem. Questions, comments? Spit it out. I love you. Not going to make me mad. Okay, bud?
There we go. I was waiting.
Go ahead. Listen. Now, I've been a Baptist for quite a while. How long have you been a Baptist?
Well, are you referring to when I first attended a Baptist church?
Yeah.
I've been a Baptist for 34 years. I've only been a Christian for 16. No.
The reason I ask is I've been a Baptist a long time. Never heard of an elder. Mm-hmm. Never needed an elder.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you're telling me that we need elders, mm-hmm. and the deacons won't be what the deacons used to be.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to get my mind straight about that.
Good. I want you to.
Because that's...
I'm happy to help
that's
you.
That's a paradigm shift to me.
It is. Absolutely. So, absolutely. Thank you for being honest about that.
Okay.
Yeah. This is. If you listen to this and you say, oh, this is no big deal... You're probably not thinking clearly enough about where we are as a church. This is a paradigm shift, a big one. I saw another hand. Miss Linda.
So I've kind of been holding this comment in for a couple of weeks. I was raised in a church that had deacons and elders. And as a child growing up in a church with elders and deacons, the elders were such a heartwarming thing to have.
Mm-hmm.
because they were very clear. It was very clear what their purpose was, and that was to shepherd and to always be there. You knew specifically who you could go and talk to. And the deacons were also very clear. You knew who they were. You very clearly saw the difference in the responsibility level, and you knew who to go to and who would have that knowledge and that peace of that peace if you needed it. You knew if you weren't comfortable enough to go to the preacher, because, you know, that's a big guy, right, in church. You knew who that elder was. And so I've been actually holding on to that for a while until something like that came up that I could just share. And actually, just let me say, I raised my hand four times the first time that came to me, and the microphone never came to me.
I'm sorry.
But tonight, it was time to say it.
Amen. The Holy Spirit must have shielded me from seeing your hand. Can I make a suggestion, sister? Thank you for sharing that. I think it would be helpful for you to sit down with Bud and Kathy and just share. Just talk about church history from your perspective, and may there be iron sharpening iron in this. I think that would be wise. Thank you for sharing that. Other comments, questions? Susan.
I have to say, and maybe I shouldn't say, but I'm going to say, everybody knows me, I am very pleased with the elders being put into place. One of my biggest, I guess, qualms when you came to start being our minister is the 30 years age difference between you and I. And in the very beginning, there were things that you and I chose to disagree about. And early on, I felt like it had to be your way or no way. This way, with the elders to back you up, I feel like you're reaching out and saying, you know, hey guys, I want assistance. I want help too. And, you know, and I'm very proud of you too. I think it's your way of reaching out too. Not to say that you're insecure in your job. I don't feel like that at all anymore. I feel like everything you say, like I've said before, is biblical. I feel like you're very knowledgeable in what you do. But I think it's just a big step forward in the improvement of Pocosin Baptist Church that you're showing that you're willing to share and to grow. And I just want to say I totally support it. I've never been in a church either that had elders or deacons or a division of power. I've always been in a Baptist church that had only deacons. But deacons, and by the same token, did elderly work. I mean, you know, I've been in a Baptist church for 60-some years, like here, you know. And, you know, I had people that I could go to. And as you're well aware of, I'm very comfortable going to someone when I need someone. But I think this is going to be a big plus for Pocosin Baptist.
Thank you, sister. Thank you. Somebody else with a comment or a question? One up here and one back there. Cliff, and then I think this one.
And I, unlike Bud, am not a lifelong Baptist, but I'm learning to be one and loving it. But this, and I understand we're independent of, but we are aligned with the SBC. What does the SBC, the first week you spoke about it, or maybe it was in a private conversation, but what does the SBC say about elders?
The SBC, the Baptist Faith Message 2000 says there are two offices in the church. The office of pastor. It doesn't use the word elder. It used to, but in the 2000 revision, or 67 revision, they changed it. But it says the office of pastor, the office of deacon. And then it says that we believe, as Southern Baptists, that the office of pastor is reserved for men only. That's the statement in the Baptist Faith and Message 2000. It doesn't get real into the nuanced discussions, but that's what, as Southern Baptists, we agree. Good question. I would say, I think that for many, many decades, Southern Baptists, we just kind of operated in deacon-led. If you go back to the original Southern Baptist churches in the 1700s, 1800s, they often had elders and deacons. I think if you go to Southern Baptist churches now, today, there's a resurgence of returning to biblical elders and deacons now. And so We're going to have a pastor's panel on November 4th. All Baptist churches in this area, they all have elders and deacons. And I know of a bunch more that I could have asked. In fact, I asked Jimmy Akery, you know, I told him, I said, I want you to be here at this panel. And I said, I want to make sure you share which church that you're a part of and tell us that you're a Baptist, because you are. And he said, they don't need to know that. He said, every Baptist church just about has elders now. And I said, well, we don't. We don't. And so he just said, I don't come across any Southern Baptist churches that don't have elders anymore, elders and deacons. So there's a resurgence to what the Bible teaches on this issue in Southern Baptist life. Miss Linda.
For the deacons, do you think that the person needs to have been a believer in the same kind of time frame that you are requiring of the elders?
Not necessarily. Right. Not necessarily, but we still want to be cautious.
Well, I think we have to be cautious with everything.
Right.
But what I see with this maybe, as I understand it, the deacons are serving, mm-hmm. if we get to that. And sometimes that takes a whole lot of energy
yes.
to serve.
Yes.
Like this, bringing the tree limbs out of everybody's yard this week. Mm-hmm. So I think that a young believer, and Hobson, we accepted you very young, and you have lots of knowledge. I don't see that we needed to say you needed to be older and been a believer longer to do what you've accomplished. So I have a little bit of problem with the timeline sort of idea for these two positions.
Yeah.
Because some people have exceptional skills and knowledge.
Right.
Very young.
Yeah. And that's where one of the safeguards, Ms. Linda, is we would not appoint a deacon or an elder unless the church does it. So, and I would suggest that we wouldn't do something like that unless we have a large majority, at least 2/3 approval. So if there's a big group of members that say, I'm not sure, then we would not appoint someone as an elder or a deacon. So that would be a safeguard to make sure we're not appointing somebody who's not ready for either office. Does
well,
that make sense?
See, what I'm, yes, and we're getting a lot of young people in our church,
yes.
which is wonderful.
Amen.
And they definitely appear to be attempting and trying and getting very involved and learning more about God's Word. So my fear, it's not a fear or a concern, is that we're very, very careful if they show an interest that we can vet them and accept that situation
yes.
and not
yes.
have it concrete.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. And I can say, especially for the office of elder, I'm going to be very, very, very cautious with anybody being, you know, presenting to the church as a potential elder unless I'm certain this person's ready. And that's going to be a very small group. Deacon, I think we have a little bit more leeway because it's not shepherding. It's leading teams of servants.
Servants, yeah.
But we still want somebody that we think can actually do it. What we don't want to do is say, well, we're the church. We're supposed to be nice. We don't want to be mean to you, so you can be the deacon of so-and-so. I don't think that's
No,
helpful.
We have to have the spiritual qualifications.
Absolutely.
But I just have a problem with this idea of how long you have been a believer and what you may be acceptable to do.
Yeah. Right.
And very godly young people.
Yes.
You have to be careful.
Age and years to be a believer. So
yes. Did you hear that?
I didn't get it.
So there's a difference between age and years being a believer. So somebody could have been saved at 8, following Jesus faithfully for 20 years. They're still young at 28, but they have 2 decades of Christian maturity. So we need to look into all those things. But we're not going to move hastily on any of this. And we're certainly going to make sure. One of the reasons to have elders first is elders would work to make sure before you nominate a deacon, that person's ready. The best people qualified to do that would be elders, having tough spiritual conversations with potential candidates. Miss Linda Butler.
So one of the things that you pointed out very early on is the difference between the spiritual and the practical. So the deacons are your practical. They have to have the faith they have to be a member of the church. First and foremost, that qualifies them for the deacon, right? Because they have the faith and they're a member of the church. Well, they're the practical application. The elder is the spiritual.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, we're going to get into qualifications in 2 weeks for deacons. But if you look at 1 Timothy 3, the qualifications for elders and deacons are very, very similar as far as character. A deacon needs to have character like an elder. The difference is a deacon doesn't need to be skilled to teach like an elder does. So that's where they're different. But character-wise, you're going to want to look at a deacon and say, this person's godly. This person loves Jesus. Yeah, they're a member. Yes, they're a Christian. But they're also godly because they're leading in an area of church life. Other questions or comments? Phil. I'm good, man. There you go. Hold on. Microphone. Sorry. I'm not legalistic with everybody, apparently. But
right. We had an opportunity to go to Nine Marks a few weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
And I believe it was 11 or 12 of us. It was advertised as missions conference. And I know you know what I'm going to say. There were 6 pastors that spoke during the day and a half that we were there. And for those of us who were there, they can certainly verify what I'm going to say. It was advertised as missions, but there was not one pastor that did not speak or work into their sermon something about elders. Not one. Every one of them spoke about elders. So as it went on, a day and a half, a couple of us teased the pastor that it was an indoctrination of elders.
Thank you for making that public.
But and just a quick advertisement. If you get a chance next year, please consider going to Nine Marks.
Thank you for that commercial, Phil. That was wonderful. Thank you, Brad. Love you. All right. In the interest of time, let's wrap up. So here's what I want you to do. Imagine it's your anniversary. You go to a restaurant with a great reputation. You've heard that their chef is one of the best on the peninsula. So you're hoping for the best prime rib of your life. So just stop and imagine that for a moment. The food is fantastic. But your server is horrible. He hits on your wife. He brings her refills, but not you. You see him chatting for 15 minutes with his coworkers at the bar while you're waiting for the check. He overcharges you for several items. You're even pretty sure, you can't prove it, but you're pretty sure he spit in your dessert. Even though the food was out of this world, what's your perception of the restaurant? It's not good. Why? Because servers matter. Servants, servers matter. Here's another scenario. You go to the same restaurant. This time, your server isn't horrible. He's friendly. He's sensitive to your needs and questions. He's hardworking, but he's tired. For some reason, the servers in this restaurant aren't just waiting on tables. They also have to help prepare the food. So you ask your server about it. He tells you that this restaurant has a single chef model. Most chefs at other restaurants have a team to help them so the servers can do this job. Here, the servers help in the kitchen as well as at the tables. And to make matters worse, the servers are understaffed. They've approached some world-class servers about working in the restaurant, but few want to work at a restaurant where they have to prepare the food and serve it. Okay? This is essentially what we're doing at PBC. The deacons here are amazing men who are godly, loving, hardworking. But I think if you were to ask them, most of them are a bit tired because instead of simply doing deacon ministry, they're also functioning in some ways
as elders. They're both preparing the food and waiting on the tables. Isn't it better to have those roles split? What I just want to encourage you, this is a different thing and change is hard and it's scary, but this is for our good. And Jesus loves his sheep and his shepherds so much, he calls deacons to serve his church. Amen? Can I pray?